Hello and God bless you everyone. We thank the Lord for the wonderful worship. Let's all turn our Bibles before we sing one song to commit the service to the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, our Lord, the Lord who sacrificed himself for my sin, the Lord who loves me, who loved me first, who loves me forevermore, beyond what I could think, the Lord who is watching over every one of us, beyond what we could imagine. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, the divine holy atonement that rewrote our life by the mercy of God. Amen. And Lord, oftentimes we people are confounded by our flesh, are distracted by our zealous devotion in the name of dutiful service to God. We completely forget Calvary, O Lord. We forsake to proclaim your death on Calvary. But Lord, we embrace the gifts and the mighty works of the Lord. And Lord, forgive every one of us, O Lord.
Yes.
Have mercy upon your children, O Father in heaven. Yes. Teach us, Lord,
yes, Lord,
to do your will, which is your delight.
Yes.
Teach us, Lord, to submit to your will, which is your pleasure. Teach us, Lord, to surrender to your perfect divine plans in our life,
yes,
with divine obedience, O Father. And Lord, we pray, may you speak to our hearts today, concerning why you died and why you resurrected and what is the will of God in my life in this. Where do I stand? Where do I stand in this reconciliation, the journey, the process, the ministry of God, the ministry of reconciliation? Where do I stand in the mighty hands of the potter as you are perfecting us? Thy truth sanctified us. And Lord, we pray, speak to our hearts today. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom. We thank the Lord for today. We bless the Lord for all the brethren who are traveling overseas. Brother Rawley's family, Sister Kenchu, Sister Alma. Many of our brethren are traveling. May the Lord keep them, watch over them wherever they are. And we thank the Lord for bringing the brethren who traveled back to home safely. We thank the Lord. Every step of our way, every day of our life, without the Lord's protection, without the Lord's shielding, without the Lord's grace and mercy, His anointing, we can't even imagine what would happen to our life. We thank the Lord for keeping every one of us in the faith.
Amen. By the grace of God, we will still continue on the topic, the title, the desire of the last Sunday service, which is the Spirit of Christ. By God's grace, we meditated on the verses that explicitly mention the Spirit of Christ. But today, we will meditate on the verses that implicitly proclaim the glory of the Spirit of Christ. Past three Sundays, I have been keep on mentioning without missing not a single service concerning the warning, test every spirit, whether it is from God. Test every spirit. Not selective, not whom you like, whom you don't like. The Lord says every spirit must be tested because there are so many adversaries at work to distract the people of God from the will of God, because they know they don't have to distract them from the Word of God. Why? The Word of God alone without the will of God is nothing but knowledge, nothing but something we know, something others don't know. But the will of God, which is the mind of God revealed to His children concerning what they should do and what the Lord is going to do, what the Lord is requiring from them, and what the Lord wants them to fulfill for Him, that personal revelation, which is not for the group, it is not for a society, not for a community, not because we are all under one ministry, the will of God would not be the same for everyone on the day. Because the Lord is testing His bride. Do you look unto Me? Do you trust Me? Do you listen to Me? Are you able to discern what I am communicating with you, or are you simply following the group? Now, the Bible warns us in the book of Corinthians that the angel of the light which fell from heaven also masqueraded himself and also equipped his ministers, the angels, like the ministers of righteousness. The word righteousness is quite a striking warning from the scriptures, which means the Lord is telling us it may look like righteousness if you simply hold on to the Word of God, because it's nothing but knowledge. But when the mind of the Lord is revealed to us, there comes the guidance of the Comforter. There comes the leading of the Spirit of God. Now, before we go into the mind of the Lord, the discernment of the Holy Spirit, the discernment of truth, perception of God's plans in our life, before we go into all of that, there is still something that we have to eat and drink. Before we meditate on perfect sacrifice, mind of the Lord, discernment, there is one piece of lively stone that we have to bring into our heart. And we will continue from the Word, the Spirit of Christ, and how the Lord beautifully described His covenant between heaven and earth when God told Noah, I'm setting this vow as a reminder to Me that I will be gracious, faithful, merciful to you and to all generations. This is My covenant. And Book of Revelation beautifully depicts the appearance of glorified Jesus Christ. There was a rainbow around His head, a rainbow around His throne, just to show the beauty of Christ, the beautiful attributes of God's Spirit in our life, how we should shine. Because the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, arise and shine, which means the true light hit my life and sanctify my heart, and in the glorious glass I shine Christ. All of us, the Lord says, when we bear the fruit of the Holy Ghost, your life shines the firstborn from the dead, the firstborn of the church, Jesus Christ. Why? He gave us the Holy Ghost to show Himself to others. A tree with the fruits of Holy Ghost shines the beautiful colors of the rainbow, beautiful attributes of Christ, which is the character of Jesus Christ. If I say spirit of cheetah, you would say it runs faster. Spirit of lion, it's bold, courageous, it roars. Every creation, we could identify it with His character. Now, book of Isaiah, chapter 11. We start from here. Do I have these beautiful characters in me? If this is the character of the anointed one. Remember, the word Christ means what? Anointed. Now, let's start from Isaiah chapter 11 and let's understand how the Bible explains what is anointing. Isaiah chapter 11, we start from here. As a continuation of what we meditated last Sunday concerning the title, Spirit of Christ. Chapter 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Rod and a branch. Verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Anointing, rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. So let us prayerfully, sincerely, diligently look at every single word that is described here. The first one is Spirit of wisdom. Then understanding. Then the Spirit of counsel and might. Might, power, dominion, authority, might. Counsel, which is the conversation between two minds. Can we do this? Shall we do this? How we can do this? Conversation, counseling, fellowshipping, communing. Then the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. In one single verse, what do we see? Wisdom, number one. Understanding, number two. Counsel, number three. Might, number four. Knowledge, number five. And fear of the Lord, that is number six. But it all happened because of the Spirit that is resting upon the head. That is the capstone, the anointing, which is nothing but love. Why? God is love. He is Spirit. He is light. God manifested in flesh, justified by Spirit. The beautiful verse that defines Godhead. But I believe in the name of the Lord, from today, whatever that we meditate will also shine the true revelation of Godhead in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? The Spirit of Christ, Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord. And if we could understand all of this by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, those who are struggling in captivity of denominations, those who are struggling with confusions concerning who is Jesus Christ, only those who are hungry and thirsty, they will eat and drink. But those who wage a war against argument, you would remain the wisest man on earth, but the foolish man in heaven. Isn't it? Why? The revelation of God is not meant for the intellect of the world. It is for the humble, weak, foolish things of the world, by whom the Lord will put the wise of the world to shame. May the Lord speak to our hearts today. Isaiah 11 verse 2 must be expounded so that we understand what is standing between Spirit of Christ and you and me. Verse 3, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Now, what happens or what manifests because of such an anointing? That is verse 3 to verse 5. So verse 2 talks about the resting of the Spirit of the Lord. Verse 3, 4, 5 talks about the consequence, the fruition of that event. It says, quick understanding because of the fear of the Lord. Why? The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now, he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Which means nobody can influence God just by saying something to him or showing something to him, because you cannot deceive the eyes of the Lord and the ears of the Lord. Why? God is Spirit. He looks at you. The deepest intentions of your heart is cut open to him. We are naked before his sight all the time. There is nothing we can hide from him. Now, he will make a quick understanding because he is the double S word, quickening spirit. He don't tarry, he don't delay, but he do everything graciously. Verse 4 says, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. So what is the rod that you see in chapter 11 verse 1? The rod of his mouth. We speak and the word will get the job done. Pruning, chastening, or shepherd staff, comforting, guiding, the word will decide. Now, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And we also know how God breathed his life into Adam. And we also understand so many miracles in the scripture that talks about breathing. Jesus Christ also spoke after the resurrection. He said, he breathed unto them and he said, receive my Holy Ghost in the gospel. Remember the word breathing, because it is a sign of life for us. Amen. If I stop breathing, my heart is not beating. If my heart is not beating, I am not breathing. Both goes in hand together. Now the last verse, verse 5. And the righteousness, now it is unfolded to the next level. It says, shall be his girdle, not just that, and faithfulness, the girdle of his reins. So the word girdle has two sort of witnesses. One, righteousness of him, and the faithfulness of him. Why the Lord shows grace and mercy to us? Because he is faithful. Why the Lord chastens you? Because he is righteous. Why the Lord shows mercy to you? Because he loves you. He wants to give you a chance. But why the Lord judge you? He has given you enough chance and he wants to choose the righteousness of him to judge us. Every day we are judged. Amen. Every single day, you and me, we are judged by God in the word of God. Every day we are pruned. Something is happening to us. We are changing. Amen. Because the Lord is working in our life. The judgment of God begins from the temple of the Holy Ghost. You. Not just these four walls. So, book of Isaiah, chapter 11, it actually paints a beautiful painting of Spirit of Christ. Because Christ means anointing. And this one single verse explains what is anointing to God. But what happened today in all the man-made ministries and churches, the word anointing means making people to go crazy and feel puffed up. Isn't it? Oh, mighty anointing vessel of God. When they come, the chairs will shake, demons will scream, sick will be healed, blind will see, lame will walk. But did we see anything in Isaiah 11 verse 2? Why? God has become a business model for many people in the world today. They feel good to speak about him because they promote themselves as, we are good people because we believe in Christ. Not because of the worldly, richest, strongest, powerful people speak about Jesus. That does not glorify God's name. That is not the testimony of Jesus Christ. They are simply using his righteousness to promote their existence. The true testimony to God Almighty is, he looks down and see the humble, sincere soul somewhere walking on the road, show Christ in that person's life. The angels celebrate for the testimony more than what the people scream from the mic. In the social media, in the news channels, wherever you see, that is nothing but boasting. You know, the love of the stage. People love stage. Now, book of Isaiah is a beautiful, beautiful chapter. 5 verses talks about branch, rod, and surprisingly, the name of Jesse is the only name of a soul mentioned in the entire, you know, that particular segment. No David, no Abraham, no Isaac, no Jacob. Of course, the name of Jesus would not be here because this is Old Testament. But why Jesse? Who is Jesse? The father of David. Who is David? The type of Christ on earth. The king, the shepherd, warrior, humble servant, The man who was able to do the will of God by keeping himself transparent, truthful, humble, no matter how much shame that he had endured, he did not seek to hide. Nathan exposed David. David humbled before God. David could have killed Nathan. Nobody can stop him. No, David didn't do it. He knew that he was wrong. He admitted it. He allowed this to be recorded. It could have been kept a secret. No, David said, no. What is secret? What is secret to God? The way David demonstrated, allowed Christ to tell himself, I am the son of David. And before David becomes a son, he should have a father, right? Son honoreth father. That is what you see in the 5 verses of book of Isaiah. Without even mentioning the name of David, Jesse did nothing. He did not kill Goliath. He was not the king of Israel. There was no record of what he did. The only thing that he did was told David, go down to the valley. There is a battle of Philistines. Just go and greet your brethren. Salute your brethren. If father did not say, the son would not have obeyed. Why? The son honored the father. The son obeys the father. The son stands where the father stands. The son goes where the father goes. If the father is rooted in the word of God. Amen? And David did that. So Jesse's name is honored in book of Isaiah. Now, from here, we will keep these 6 attributes. Wisdom, understanding, what we read, counsel, might, knowledge, and fear. It's all together. Spirit of wisdom and understanding, spirit of counsel and might, spirit of knowledge and fear. Why? It can't be separated. Wisdom can't be separated from understanding. Understanding can't be separated from wisdom. Same as knowledge of the Christ. If you have no fear of God, you will lose the knowledge of Christ. If you have knowledge of Christ, you will embrace the fear of God. Like right hand and left hand go together. And counsel and might. Why? The counseling of God in you. It is the power that you received because of Christ died for you on the cross. Do not forget, in the Old Testament, there was Urim Thummim. The entire multitude of Israel, more than 600,000 or whatever, God would tell them, go and ask my high priest. I'm not speaking to you. I'm not revealing myself to you. You want to come and touch the holy mountain? Come and try. I will burn you. So the high priest become the only mediator between people and God. And God was giving the decision making through the high priest. They will ask the high priest, can he go for war? The high priest will pray. The Urim Thummim will be given to him. And he will say, A or Nay. That power of counseling with God's Spirit has been given to every one of us because of what Christ did for us on Calvary. Now, we have to take it from here and understand, how can I test every spirit? Because the ultimate goal is not to test every spirit. The ultimate goal is to conform to the Spirit of Christ. But when I am conforming to the Spirit of Christ, I also have to make sure I am not conforming to something else. I am not influenced by someone else. I am not distracted by some other spirit. It is your duty. Why? The builders of the wall, they had one hand with a tool to build the wall, one hand the weapon to defend the enemies. As much as we desire to conform to Christ, you also have the due diligence, responsibility to make sure you are not conforming to anyone else. You are not following anyone because of your filia. Now from here, let's start the title of today's sermon. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 verse 3. This is after resurrection, after the Holy Ghost was given, after the apostles were unleashed to redeem God's children. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Jesus Christ from the dead. Lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Christ anointed from the dead. There is no anointing in the dead. But Christ anointed, the word anointed represents having the Spirit. Spirit is life. Death can never hold life because life is light. Death is darkness. Light will consume darkness. Now, this verse talks about we all receive the lively hope, not the hope of some man, hope of some personal gains, not the hope of the past. It's lively because it is the hope of eternal glory. It's lively because the Lord called all of us, you are my lively stone. He is our chief cornerstone. The word of God is full of life. The Spirit is life. We serve the Lord who is one true living God for the reason the moment you put your hope in Him, all your hope, it is the lively hope. Now, what is the hope? What it gives me? Why it was given to you? By the power of resurrection. But most of the time, our flesh will tell us, thank God, Christ died for you, He suffered for you, you don't have to suffer, escape, and you will go to heaven. You will die, but you will go to heaven. But is it why we love Christ? That He died for you, He suffered for you, so that you can escape from all the suffering and simply go to heaven? Is it that easy to fool God? Is it that easy to deceive the greatest deceiver of all time? Do you know He was called the deceiver? The scripture recorded a blasphemy against Christ. That people called Him a deceiver. They called Jesus a deceiver. We will go there. Can He deceive Christ? Proclaim my death on Calvary. Why? Oh, I'm a sinner. He died for me. That is one part of it. Nobody is denying that. Again, why? There are so many things that comes with the death. Because what came afterwards? Resurrection. Why resurrection? Now, may the Lord guide us as we continue in 1 Peter. Verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible. Hallelujah. The earthly father of your life can give you inheritance that can be corrupted by the dust of the earth. But the heavenly Father will give you an inheritance that is incorruptible. Nobody can spoil it. Nobody can steal it. Nobody can damage it. Because nobody can access it in the first place. Incorruptible inheritance. What a powerful, powerful gift. The Lord says, I am giving you an incorruptible inheritance. And He says, undefiled. Nobody can defile it. And that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. This is where we get stuck. Because we want it to be in earth. And the Lord says, it is there, but in heaven. The will of my Father in heaven. The Lord says, the incorruptible inheritance reserved for you in heaven. Jesus said, I came from heaven to save, redeem, reconcile the seeds of God belongs to Him. Now verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I will ask you a question and I pray that you all meditate throughout the week. We all speak so many things about revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, meditate in this single verse of 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. It says, who are kept by the power of God. Who? The children of God, the elect, the bride, the chosen ones. Kept by the power of God, not by your goodness. not by your beautiful attributes, not by your righteousness. You are just kept by the power of God. Like those people of Israel who found shelter inside the house where the blood was applied on the doorpost. They had no power to overcome the plague. They were simply kept by the power of God. And what was the power of God? In those times, the blood that was shed, the Passover lamb, at that point of time. Because blood always represents spirit. Why? The blood that flows in my life is a sign of I am alive. If I have no spirit of Christ, the Bible says you are not of God, which means I am dead. Now, verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God, praise the Lord, they will be revealed in the last time. But we always tend to incline too much on revelation of Jesus Christ, revelation of the Word of God, revelation of the truth. My brethren, my brothers and sisters, my friends in Christ, what about your revelation? Hey, do I have a revelation? If He is the Word of God, if He is the image of God, if He is the visible presence of God, if He is the wisdom and power of God, if He is the glory of the Lord, if He is the only Son, if we are all from Him, if He is revealed, don't you see, you are also revealed. Why? You are the parts of Him. When the Word of God is revealed, the first revelation that you get is who He is, which also comes with the revelation of who you are. Who I am, Lord, who I am. And this verse beautifully says, they will be revealed in the last time. Correct? Can we be puffed up? Can we be super confident? No matter what happens, my seat in the chariot of rapture is reserved. I booked it. Can we have the assurance? Assertiveness is the most dangerous, subtle poison that can bring down a believer who received the truth, who is baptized in the name of the Lord. Assertiveness. It's not even complacency. It's not even lukewarm. It is overconfidence. Assertiveness. King Saul was so beautiful, goodly looking, with beautiful countenance. There was none like him. First king of Israel. First. The very first. The Lord taketh away the first. He established the second. Who is that? David. Priest Eli was telling Hannah, are you drunk? Don't you know how to pray? Learn from me how to pray. She was murmuring because of the pain and he couldn't even see what she is going through. He asked her, are you drunk? The truth was, she was drunk by the burden of the spirit and Eli was drunk by the burden of his flesh. His eyes were blurred before he died, isn't it? He fell backwards, backslided. He fell backwards, assertiveness. God warned him several times, but he couldn't heed to his warning. He thought he's doing good. Now, this particular verse says, those who are kept by the power of God should remain humble because they know if I'm alive today, it's because of the power of God. And what is the power of God? They're showing the biceps, hey, right hand, power of God. Now, to people, power means what? Victory. Let me ask you a question. Why can't a failure can be a power? Hey, healing, power. Hey, why can't a sickness can be a power? The lame who was seated before the beautiful gate all his life, about 40 years, he was a powerful man in that region. Why? The Lord glorified his name through him. In his sickness, he glorified God. The sickness was the power of God that was waiting upon him to manifest. The failure of Stephen, irrespective of being anointed for a few days or few times, few weeks, few months, we don't know. He was immediately removed from that journey. But in that failure, he prayed for forgiveness. No one can do that. He showed the world the very same prophet Elijah who was with the mighty power of God, who burnt the servants of King Ahab, the very same Elisha who killed those people with the two she-male bears because, they teased him. Those times are Old Testament. But now we are coming with a new anointing, the Spirit of Christ. Love, grace, mercy, forgiveness, the most most powerful attributes of Christ. He showed in that failure, Jesus Christ was standing and witnessing the testimony. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 5 should be etched in our heart. Am I going to be revealed in the last time? It should be a question to your heart. And the answer should be, Lord, help me to do your will. Lord, help me to surrender. Lord, I repent. Lord, I submit. Lord, I will do whatever it takes to rest at thy feet. Help me, Lord. Help me. No assertiveness. Why? It says revealed in the last time. If the Lord decided not, we all will miss. No matter how good we are. No matter whatever we did. Because the Bible says, no one can serve God without God helping him to serve himself. Now, let's read 1 Peter chapter 3 as we continue. Chapter 3 verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 17. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing, not well-being, okay? It's two different things. Well-doing, not well-being. Whatever it takes to do the will of God, whatever you face, it's okay. So be it. But the will of God should have the preeminence in my life, in your life. Not the will of men. Not the will of people. Not the will of your family. Your family cannot reproduce the revelation of the mind of God. No one can mimic God. No one can speak on behalf of God in your life. Now the Lord says, through the vessel, 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 17 says, suffer for well-doing than evil-doing. What is evil-doing for us? Doing all the things that the Lord hates. My dear brethren, anything that we do, we trust, we obey, even we do it with a loving heart, but that is not in the will of God, it will not yield good fruit. It will yield something evil. Why? The knowledge of the scripture as a book will only give you pride. The knowledge of the understanding about whom the book was written will give you Christ. Amen? Why? I should be like Christ. I should look like him. I should speak like him. I should live the way he lived. The blueprint of the life was showcased by Christ. This is how we should live. That is the purpose of the knowledge is revealed to us. Now verse 18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That is the will of the Father in heaven. But he had to do it in the most painful way. Being put to death in the flesh. Why? Nobody can kill his spirit. And nobody can kill his soul. The Bible says, fear him who is able to destroy your body and soul. Because the people of the world can only destroy your body. They can. But the soul and spirit belongs to him. Now, here it says, he was being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the spirit. That is, 1 Peter chapter 3, chapter 1, verse 3, 4. That is, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we all receive the lively hope. Quickening is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 19. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. We thank God we finished a whole series on prison gate, which we also continue in different titles. The lesson from the Lord, it has no title. It is pure life. The Lord descended to preach the gospel unto the souls in captive in the prison. He was not resting. He was still ministering. He was still serving. He was getting no time. But look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. Which sometime were disobedient. So who are captives in the prison? The disobedient ones. No matter whatever they try to justify, those who try to justify their own actions will always be called as disobedient. And they will be in a prison called captivity. The Lord needs to deliver them by breaking the lock. What is the lock? Your confidence. He will take away your confidence. So that you say, Lord, I yield. I have understood. How this particular example is linked all the way to Noah. You see, they were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing. Wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Saved by water. Last Sunday I mentioned the flood of that time received a name called Waters of Noah. Because the Lord said, the 8 souls, Noah, including you, saved by water. Lord, the water destroyed the whole earth. That is none of your business. The water saved your life. Destruction belongs to God. Judgment belongs to God. Vengeance belongs to God. Anger belongs to God. But for Noah, the Lord says, I saved your family by water. Can he say, no. I was saved by the ark that I built. Worked for 6 months, man. So much commitment, so much hard work. I had to keep myself fit, healthy, no fever, no cold, so that I can finish the ark in time. The Lord says, he didn't say anything about the ark. He said, you were saved by water. Why? Imagine the flood was sent. The ark blessed the people to escape. But yet, the flesh, the wickedness, the darkness of those people also survived the flood from the water. Noah lands a particular, maybe a mountain or a beautiful vineyard. He tells the family, rejoice, we have a new beginning. Then comes all his in-laws, his relatives, and come and kill them. So, can Noah say, ark saved my life? The Lord says, nay, water saved your life. Why? It destroyed everything that came against you. The fire that devoured that goeth before you. The Lord destroyed everything that was about to destroy Noah and family. The Lord destroyed everything that was about to destroy Lot and his family. Absolutely identical pattern. If the entire village, the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, if they did not come to Lot's house to destroy his daughters and the two angels and the family, the Lord had no business to kill righteous people. But because of the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah came against the righteous son of God, Lot, the Lord had to preserve Lot and destroy everything else. Same happened to Noah. But here, the most important lesson that we should all think and meditate is, you wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen? Those who are called the disobedient, the Bible says, Jesus Christ descended and preached the gospel to the people in captive, the souls in captive. Isn't it? Now let's continue, verse 21. Why he, it is a type, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Baptism alone is not the end of your journey. That is the message of verse 21. It says, the baptism is the beginning of your walk with the Lord. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. And how we do that? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. By the resurrection of the Jesus Christ. Verse 21, who is gone into heaven, again heaven, and is on the right hand of God, seated there, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. My dear brethren, if you take the Bible, without resurrection, this is the book of history. Isn't it? Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this book is nothing but a history book. Why? You read something, you know what happened, but it has no benefit, it has no quickening in your life. The resurrection of Christ breathed life into the scripture that we read. From Genesis to Revelation became complete when Christ resurrected. Not when he died. Why? Everyone will die. Death means nothing, but resurrection has to come. In order for him to be resurrected, he has to die. But he is life. How life can die? He is the light. How light can become a darkness? Cannot. So, he deceived, entered into Sheol, descended. Now that deception is not the deception of the world. It's a silence that God embraced in heaven when he screamed unto him, "Why thou hast forsaken unto me?" And the silence that Jesus maintained when he was questioned, "Are you the Son of God?" He was answering in a way that the Calvary would not be compromised. Isn't it? He maintained silence for some questions. And he answered in a way the wisdom of God would answer. And Calvary manifested. Fulfilled. Now this resurrection is what we will meditate today. So today the sermon title is not simply the resurrection, but what is the power that resurrection brings to my life. The power of resurrection. May the Lord guide us as we continue. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Before we understand what are the words spoken by resurrected Jesus Christ, we have to understand where is the power of resurrection in my life. The Spirit of Christ shines the beautiful character of Christ. What this power of resurrection do to me? Romans chapter 6 verse 4. Let's start this meditation from here as we set the introduction. Chapter 6 verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. So baptism is a type of death. It is not over. That's why I've been telling several times, just because of people are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the doors of heaven are not open for you. It is just a type that you begin the journey, that we start the walk. There is work to be done. The Spirit of God must be in me. The Spirit of Christ must shine through me. The power of resurrection must help me to be confirmed. Then I might be able to finish the race. He who had begun the work when you receive Christ, he will finish the work only if you submit. Verse 4 says, we were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. So my dear brethren, the very first word that we should focus here is, when it comes to power of resurrection, there are many things that we have to meditate today. The first one is the glory of, not men, not son, the Father. Why? The Son has no glory for his own. He is the glory of the Lord. Amen? What is the name of Jesus Christ? He is the glory of the Lord. He was the glory of the Lord. Ezekiel met on the plain, the visible presence. Every visible presence that we read in the Old Testament, the glory of the Lord stand. It was our Savior, our Lord, who was standing and speaking. But the flesh manifested in the New Testament. God manifested in flesh. That is New Testament. Why? We will prayerfully seek today. The first word that comes to our heart is, he was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. The Bible says, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to anyone, because there is only one God. If Jesus Christ is called as the glory of the Lord, what does it mean? Let's keep on stir up our minds, stir up our hearts. Although we all understand Godhead, but there are brethren, there are people out there have the hunger and thirst to receive more. What it is. The Lord can still show us things in excellent way. Glory of the Father. Beautiful. Next one. It says, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. How we started the sermon today? He taketh away the first, he established the second. It has so many inspiration to look upon, but I'll give you some examples. My old man was my first formation, right? We all born as sinners. My mother conceived me in sin. We all have sinned and we fall short of the glory of the Lord. Amen? That was my first state in flesh. He taketh away the first, he established the second. Our old man is gone when we receive the name of Christ, and he established the second, which is the new man. But it is not a one-time event. It is a process. It is a journey. The words of the Lord refined, purified 7 times like silver and gold. Now the Lord is establishing us. David says, Lord, consider the work of my hands. Establish the work of my hands. Which is, let me live my life as a living sacrifice. So the word establishing comes with newness of life. So what is the second thing? Newness of life. You can compare with new man, old man, but I would remind all of us about new covenant. The new covenant has not yet been revealed to Israel, but Gentiles have understood, isn't it? It's a trap for us. Why? We have to stay humble, sincere, diligent, truthful, be a child, although we know something that the children of God has not yet been revealed to. Now, glory of the Father, newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So now, the newness of life is not something that we feel, I'm happy, I was sad, I'm healed, I was sick. No, that's not the newness. The newness is likeness of Christ. Correct? I should be like him. Like who? The new covenant. My new covenant. The mercies of the Lord, fresh and new every morning. The Lord is the song of my salvation. He is my day. I live through him. Now, Romans presents these beautiful attributes of what the power of resurrection brings to my life. Verse 6, knowing this, not the doctrine, knowing who is Jesus Christ to you and who you are to Christ. That revelation says that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, which means the sin was a master to all of us. We were serving the sin. By how? By dying. The wage of sin is what? Death. If I die, I serve sin. Why? The sin got over me, took over me, had the domination over me, dominion over me. The Lord says, don't serve sin. You are alive in Christ. And the Lord says, death, where is your sting? Where is your sting? He's mocking. I have Christ in me. You have Christ in you. Death has no power over you, but you will die. It's okay. We close our eyes here and open our eyes on the other side. But what we have to meditate here is, we do not love God because we will not die. We love God because he died for us. The glory of the Lord, the manifestation of the word of God, the Lord, the Savior, the Creator, by whom, in whom, for whom all things are created. He sacrificed himself for you and me. How come he offered that perfect sacrifice? That was what I wanted to meditate first, but the Lord put it on my heart. Speak about resurrection first. Perfect sacrifice comes later. I should go backwards. Before we talk about perfect sacrifice, we should understand what is the power of resurrection that you and me have right now. Verse 6 says, we will not serve sin. Amen? That is book of Romans. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. chapter 3, verse 10. One of the most beautiful verses that talks about resurrection. Verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and made conformable unto his death. So, he has called us to conform to his death. Because he died for our sins, we are crucified with him on the cross, the old man. Now, this particular verse says, I need the power of Christ, Spirit of Christ. I want to receive the power of the resurrection so that I may know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about there was a long suffering in the times of Noah when the ark was preparing. Amen? I mentioned last Sunday that we all don't know how much steadfastness, perseverance that Noah showcased in that time, in the midst of all the wicked people around him, to build the ark. I mentioned it's ugly, dirty, painful process to build something, repair something, isn't it? For instance, this entire building, it took time for them to build. When the building, the construction is going on, if we are those, you know, people pass by and we see it, it doesn't look beautiful, right? It looks very naked. All the works are, looks incomplete. Stones, metals, you know, protruding here and there. Not good. I don't like it. Call me when you commission the project. I will just come and simply enter the church, sing songs. Because nobody wants construction. Nobody wants building. Nobody wants repairing. But people want to move in. It's very similar to how people who leave you in the toughest, darkest moment of life, when your life is going through a process of repairing, reconstruction, revival, renewal by God Almighty, you know who is your true friend, isn't it? All the false, fake friends will run away from you. The true ones who love you truly for who you are, they will stand with you. It's a revelation, right? It's a revelation. I left all social media in 2009. Before that, I had 2,000 people in my friends list, okay? I was just a 16-year-old boy. But something happened to me in 2009. I was the first one to leave the social media. And my friends asked me, are you alive? Where are you? What are you doing? Many questions, many messaging, emails. Then it was keep on reducing. Only my true friends who love me for who I am, and those whom I love truly, they are still in that beautiful friendship with me for the last, you know, 17, 16 years. But those who are keep on making noise, I love you, good morning, good night, how was the food, all the so much noise, they disappear. Why? When you go through something, only those who love you will hold on to you. They'll go down with you. And they will bring you up. A type of the friendship of Jonathan. The type of the friendship Jesus showed on cross. True friendship. Amen? Now the Lord says here, through the vessel, I want to embrace my friend Jesus Christ, what he embraced. By how? By the same power of resurrection that he has given to me. That I may know him. Amen? That I may know him and conform to his death. Why he died for me, I should conform to the death. Now he says, verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, blessed be the name of the Lord. As a bride of Christ, we are all very busy in, marriage is coming, I must be prepared, I should be perfected, I should be holy, righteous. Marriage, heaven. Apostle Paul says, if there is a chance, I would love to attain that resurrection of the dead. Apostle Paul, why are you living in the past? He is dead, it's over. He is resurrected, it is the present now. But Jesus said, proclaim my death on Calvary. Because not everyone can do that. Only those who know him by the power of his resurrection, those who understood the fellowship of his sufferings, they know Christ. So Noah was going through a long suffering that we all don't know what he had gone through, but you can understand psychologically, mentally, imagine God tells you, hey, build the ark bulrush, okay? Don't tell anyone, okay? Next month, by Monday, I'm going to sink the entire nation. You will survive. Good. What about my uncle? Don't say anything about it. What about my relative? Don't say anything about it. What Noah was going through? If he is a righteous son of God, do you think he was rejoicing in the death of those people? Do you think that he was waiting for them to destroy? God already showed an example what Jonah made a mistake concerning city of Nineveh. He was thinking he is a prophet of God. God will destroy city of Nineveh. He was boasting, and the Lord gave him a very hard lesson. I am the creator. I will show mercy. Who are you? Noah was a beautiful type, because the book of Hebrews says long suffering was linked to the process of building the ship, repairing, preparing. The ark was a preparing. It's a painful process, not beautiful. Imagine when the Lord brings down a nation to the captivity. It's a painful process for them to come back to the throne. But during the painful process, you will see who is the Ittai. Hey, who is Ittai? The only servant of God who stood with David when he was thrown into the Gibeon. Ittai said, I will die for my king. Why? Ittai saw the anointing of God upon David. He knew David fell, but he knew God would not fail. He loved David for who he is, stood with David. But there was no one for Noah. There was no one for Noah. Not anyone but him. None but the Lord. None but thee. He was going through long suffering. That is why when he entered that flood cruise time, he was drunk. Because the Lord allowed him to plant vineyards. Now, that long suffering, that ark was a preparing. Let's apply it to our life. Let's apply it to our heart. Now read the next verse, which is verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. What an apostle. What an apostle the Lord used to bring the light of him to Gentiles. Now, let's take it from here and go to 1 Corinthians. So that we go layer by layer of eating the words of life. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's read from verse 18. Verse 18. Now let's look at how the Lord defines what is wisdom, what is foolishness. Amen? Because I mentioned very clearly in the very first verse, Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1 to 5 says, the Spirit of the Lord rest upon me. Started the very first, the Spirit mentioned was what? Spirit of wisdom. Because there is one that is wisdom to God, and there is one that is wisdom to men. Verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Those who despise the cross, those who preach prosperity alone, those who preach the beautiful words of the scripture and ignore all the warning that comes with it, those who defile the word of God, those who keep people under their control for profitable things, the Lord says those who are walking on their own accord to perish, for them preaching the cross is a foolishness to them. Why? They can't preach. Why? The death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, is a personal revelation to you, comes from God Almighty. Amen? Personal. Not the group insurance. Personal. It says in verse 24, we continue 24. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. What? Power of God and the wisdom of God. So now we are in resurrection. It talks about power plus wisdom of God, not you and me. Power of God, wisdom of God, because Jesus Christ was raised up from the dead by the power of God. Now, this is compared to foolishness and wisdom. Why? Now we read from verse 19. Verse 19 says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise." He did not say, "I will destroy the wise." Why? The Lord will destroy your confidence. He will not destroy you. The Lord speaks to watchmen. He says, "I don't want anyone to perish. I want all to receive me. I want all to receive my truth." But yet people turn their back against him. And he says, he will destroy the wisdom of men for the wisdom of God to prevail and have the preeminence. And he says, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord says, I will bring the understanding of the prudent, those who think they are so wise, so prudent, super righteous, overly righteous. The Lord says, I will bring their understanding to nothing. Not something, nothing. Why? There is nothing above him, there is nothing less than him. He is who he is. Verse 20, where is the wise, where is the scribe, where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? So the Lord says, I will allow the wisdom of the world to dance with full power, like the Tower of Babel. When they showcase their full wisdom, then the Lord will bring them down. Now, wisdom of the world, wisdom of God. Verse 21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I love this verse so much, more than I could describe. It pleased the Father in heaven by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Not the wise wisdom of doctrinal preaching, but the wisdom of preaching of God, which is speak about the life behind the word. Not the tower before the word. Not the kingdom built by the word. The life behind, the flame behind, the life of Christ, Spirit of Christ. And the Lord says, it pleased me to be truthful, to be diligent to what God has called you to do. Not to do what the men, women, people of the world lust after. Now, verse 22, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greek foolishness. He became the type of foolishness unto the people of the world who think that they are wise. The lamb that was slain. Verse 24. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now verse 25. Verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Amen? Can we see a beautiful sample of it? Let's turn our scripture to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. One verse. Just one verse before we continue in the New Testament, the letters. Matthew chapter 27, verse 63. Matthew 27, verse 63. Before we read, I want all of us to remember this. If you just hold your Bible like this, the page where I'm holding now, which is Matthew 27:28, is that page where the resurrection of Jesus Christ is written. Not foretold, not as a prophecy. It was written as an event, this particular page. So the whole Bible, the resurrection of Christ is mentioned in the very first gospel, Matthew chapter 28. Remember that. But before the resurrection was mentioned, there was a blasphemy about him. And what was told is verse 63. You see how he was called. Verse 63, saying, "Sir, we remember that the deceiver said," who? "We remember that the deceiver said," what he said, "while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again." Now this word was spoken by Christ, amen. But it was repeated by those who hated Christ. Those who profaned the name of Christ. Who are those? Pharisees and Sadducees and chief priests in the previous verse. And they say, saying, "Sir, you know the deceiver? He told this when he was alive, as if, you know, he could be killed. After 3 days, I will arise." No, the right translation is, "On the third day, I will rise." On the third day. Now, this is verse 63. What we read in the previous verse talks about the foolishness of God is still wiser than men. Amen. We thank the Lord. Now let's continue to go back to the letters of Apostle Paul, because he is the one who unfolded this resurrection power in a more excellent way. He was a witness. Now let's read from Colossians chapter 1. How it is explained here. Colossians chapter 1, let me read from verse 11 and we take the important words or characters or attributes or the power that comes with resurrection. Chapter 1, verse 11. "Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power." Because the Lord was resurrected by the glory of the Father in heaven. Amen. So strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Amen. The long suffering is still continuing, right? In all the verses, it keeps on chasing us. Long suffering from the times of Noah. Verse 12. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Inheritance was given to us to partake. Not to keep for ourselves, but to partake. Like how we do it in the feet washing communion, we share the same bread, partaking in the communion. Because we are from him. He is in us. Verse 13. "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Do you see the word translation of saints or translated? It's not just, you know, changing, but translating. Very similar to, I speak a different language, I bring a translator who translates the language in a way that it can be received by others, right? Now, in order for the Father in heaven to receive me, a language, an unspoken language in heaven, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the song of my salvation, should wash me thoroughly, sanctify me by his truth, wash me, rinse me thoroughly by his blood, anoint me by his spirit, translate me into a being that I can be received by my Father in heaven. The high priest who intercedes for you, the advocate who has been pleading for you, the wonderful counselor who is standing in the gap for you and me. Amen. Translators, verse 14. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins." So we thank the Lord. We are slowly approaching to perfect sacrifice because the word forgiveness has come. But let's still stay with the resurrection power as we continue. So Colossians 11 to 14 talks about strength, might, glorious power, inheritance, partaking, and most importantly, translation. Amen? Translation. The Lord is doing something in us, changing us. Now, Brother Zoel can help to read us from verse 15 to 20. Same chapter, verse 15 to 20. Thank you, brother. Verse 15 to 20. Colossians 1, 15 to 20. God bless you.
Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For in him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto him, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
Amen. Verse 20 says, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. But the two key words that we have to remember from what Brother Zoel just read to all of us, firstborn and preeminence, establishing and confirming. Amen? Why? The word translation helps the children of God to be established in the present truth, which is by the guidance of the Holy Ghost, which is the gift, the promise of the Father given through the death of his Son, the power of the Spirit, establishing us in the truth as we continue to conform to be like him. Firstborn. He is called the firstborn. Amen? Why? The resurrection of our Lord and Savior gave him the name, the firstborn of the dead. Amen? Now, in all things that he might have the preeminence, because he is the glorified Jesus Christ seated in the right hand of the Father, that shows the power. But if you remember what happened to us, quickening spirit, and how he saved us. Amen? If we think the Lord saved me because of his death, that is sacrifice, but if there is no resurrection, how your salvation will be look like? Just think, the Lord died for your sin, sacrificed, praise the Lord, all my sins are forgiven, okay, praise the Lord. But imagine your life without resurrection. Reconciliation, redemption is impossible without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But resurrection is impossible without him to be killed first. But death is impossible if he don't love his children first. But love is impossible if he did not create them in the first place. You see how it is all connected together to the point whereby you will call the entire Bible the word in singularity. Amen? One single word. Because one single Lord. Only one Lord. So the power of resurrection is keep on unfolding who we are to him. Because the bride of Christ must be revealed to him. Amen? So now let's continue from Colossians as we understood why the Lord told Noah the covenant between earth and heaven. Because Jesus Christ, now he is seated, having the entire dominion, power, authority, all things in heaven, all things in earth, subject to him. Amen? He received the excellent name, his ministry of reconciliation, by ascending. Now, we will go to John, one of the most powerful statement the Lord himself spoke. John chapter 11. I love the way the Lord spoke this word. He didn't waste any time. He was just being as straightforward as he can be. John 11 verse 20, John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. Hey, I thought some power from heaven, glory of the Father, power of God should come and quicken Christ from the death of flesh, power of resurrection. And the Lord says, I am the resurrection. Then what is all pointing to? The glory of the Father is I am. Amen? I am the glory of the Father. If the Lord resurrected from death by the glory of the Father, and Jesus says, I am the resurrection. I am the glory of the Father. This is where the children of God, the eyes are blinded. Why? The Lord intentionally allowed few examples in the past. Elijah revived a child. Elisha revived a child. Jesus brought Lazarus to life. Even Peter told Tabitha, arise. So many examples. Miracles bringing people to life. So he became a prophet. A messenger. Not the messenger. The messenger. The mediator of our covenant. Amen? I am that I am. I am who I am. Now, the Lord says, I am the resurrection. He says, and the life, which he can't be killed, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believeth in me. The Lord takes this to the sisters. The Lord has also put a burden in my heart to prepare a new sermon series on two sisters. Mary, Martha, Rachel, Leah. As the Lord leads, when the Lord leads, may the Lord bless me to bring the sermon series. Two sisters. Now, this whole chapter is also about the two sisters, Mary and Martha. The Lord speaks this to Martha and he says, I am the resurrection. Amen? He didn't say this to Mary. He told this to Martha. Why? Mary was not present at that point of time. I don't want to read the whole chapter, but the essence of the story was, Jesus delayed intentionally so that he can be there at the perfect time. But for Mary and Martha, it was a delay. They were so unhappy, so, you know, painful because the brother died and the body decayed and the Lord comes after some time. But the most beautiful thing that he did was, he met Martha somewhere in between. He spoke to her, but he stayed there. He sent Martha. Martha then told to Mary what she heard from Jesus. Then Mary came. When she came with people. Hey, the Lord could have gone with Martha, right? To meet Mary. Anyway, they need to go to the tomb of Lazarus. But the Lord stood where he was. Same as how he sat near the Jacob's well. The Samaritan woman had to fulfill the purpose of her life for God. She went into the city, brought souls. Mary went and passed the message. Martha passed the message and Mary came to Christ. Together, they made Jesus one of the most smallest words in the entire scripture with just two words, which is when the Bible says Jesus wept, verse 35. Amen? John chapter 11, verse 35. What do you see? Jesus wept. Two words. One verse. Two words. A small verse, but it really troubles my heart. Why he wept? If he is the resurrection, he is the life, that doesn't take the love that he has for you. That doesn't take away the burden that he has for you and me. Without soul burden, there is no Garden of Gethsemane. He looked at the faith of the people. He had the love that he had for those sisters and Lazarus and the people around. And the way they were blinded by the earthly death. They could not see who he is really. And also he groaned in his spirit. The Bible says, he groaned in his spirit. He wept. The burden of the Lord came unto me. Book of Malachi, the very first verse. Without burden, there is no ministry of God. Amen? Now, the Lord speaks this concerning resurrection. I will come back to this later, but what we have to read here is verse 43. Verse 43. And when he thus had spoken, so he is communicating with the people around, He tells them, take the stone away. He's giving them a message. Then he makes a declaration. He says, verse 43, he cried with a loud voice. He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth, come and stand before me. Like Aaron, sons of Aaron, come and stand before me. Put on the new garments. Oh, remove the dirty, filthy garments of Lazarus. Put on new garments. Release him, because he was bound. The Jewish tradition of how they prepare the tomb. He was bound. The Lord says, release him. Release the prisoner. Release him into my liberty. And he tells Lazarus, follow me. Amen? Follow me. He take away the first, establish the second. Follow me. If as a new man, a new woman, a new creation of God, if I do not live like him, what's the point of me talking about serpentine seed, sin of Ham, all the revelation? We know, we speak everything. But there is no life of Christ in me. What's the point? The Lord says, nothing. Why? He said, nothing. He can bring the understanding of prudence to be nothing. Now, the Lord speaks to all of us. If he has given us the power of resurrection, it is for us to live the way Jesus lived, to love the way Jesus loved, to stand with the fellowship of God the way Jesus stood with the fellowship of God, and to give his life for his friends the way Jesus gave his life. Not in some other sacrificial, blind way of filia. Why? I can give my life to you now. But is it the will of the Lord? I must ask him. The Lord would say, if all the brethren take the step to kill you, open the window, escape. Why? You can go and preach, and I can go and preach on the road, right? Can I say, oh, today is the day of martyrship? My brethren, the life that you have is more precious than you can think of. That's why the Lord says, do not harm your body, do not harm your mind, do not harm your heart, because you are mine. You belong to me. I died for your sin. I died for you. Our life is precious to him. The Lord would not simply take away the life of righteous without a divine reason for that. Amen? Not everyone can become Stephen. Remember, Apostle Paul was hunted to be killed. You know what he did? Opened the window, escaped. Can you say Apostle Paul speaks so many things, just die for the name of the Lord, man? No. It was not the time. But who told him? The mind of the Lord was revealed to Apostle Paul concerning Apostle Paul, which was not revealed to Apostle Peter, John, everyone around him. Why? The Lord deals with you uniquely, so personally. Imagine I just tell brethren, okay, let's all go to this particular place, 20 of us. If all 20 say, oh, this is a leading from the Lord, let's all go. But you have to pray, Lord, should I go? The Lord may say, do something else for me. You never know. What I'm saying is, everything must be inquired with the last Adam, because that is the beauty of the Eve. Amen? The wife of Christ inquired with the husband first. Lord, can I do? Is it your will for me? Should I do this? Irrespective of whoever tells you what to do, whoever tells you what to believe, whoever it is, ask the groom first, which was the failure that Eve did in the Garden of Gethsemane. She did not inquire Adam, for whom she was created. She did not submit, and she fell. Now the Lord is looking at all of us. Is it so easy to predict the will of God in my life? But the Lord says it's a revelation. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, secret of the Lord belongs to the Lord. But what was revealed to his children belongs to the children and the children of children forever. What is the last chapter, last book? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Who is your inheritance? He is your exceedingly great reward. You and me. He is my inheritance. Amen. Now let's continue what the Lord speak here. He said, He cried with a loud voice and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Come forth. You know, it's a command. It's a shout. It must be reflected. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. How this shout translates. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians. From verse 16. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Amen? So what Jesus did to Lazarus? A type. Because he shouted, right? Come forth. My bride, come forth. Meet me up in the air. He says, come, descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. And with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Only those who died in Christ, who were crucified with him on the cross. Confirming the purpose of sacrifice. The Lord will guide us as we continue on the topic. But before that, verse 17 says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, which means there is a meeting point, right? With them, those who died first will rise first because they died in Christ. Those who are left behind yet did not die yet at the point of blessed time, appointed time, the Lord says, they will meet. Those who translated and those who resurrected, they will meet up in the air. He says, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord forever and ever. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What? Comfort. What a beautiful word that we should remember concerning the resurrection power. Comfort, that is part of fellowship. People are busy in establishing, but fellowship has become an agenda, right? Agenda. But the fellowship of God can never be an agenda. It is instant, cannot be premeditated, cannot be planned, cannot be predicted, cannot be presumed. It is nothing but God reveals who He is. That close, intimate conversation. We comfort with one another in our fellowship because the power of resurrection has been given to us, which is, if we die, we will rise when He come and shout. If we don't die, we will still rise above the storm, soar above the storm, and meet Him up in the air, along with those who died in Christ. They will meet Him up in the air, and we will live with Him forever and ever. That is our comfort. The most powerful comfort that we all should meditate. If you are not careful, for us the word comfort means healing from sickness, overcoming a problem, coming victorious, or doing something great, or going through some pain but finding some way to, you know, endure the pain. It is also a comfort. Nobody is denying that. We also need that because we are in flesh. But the Lord has made us in soul, spirit, body. The Bible says, comfort one another with this, that we will meet Him up in the air, but before that, He will make us shout. The walls of Jericho was destroyed after there was a shout. Shout of victory. Now let's read the next one, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 52. Now let's read how this is reflected in this particular book. Verse 52. Let's read from verse 51 because I like the word change in verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. Because mystery means it is hidden. You can't find it. Someone needs to show it to you. You can't search. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. What's the first word? Change. The word change is always pointing to translation. Change plus translate, because he has to translate us, like how he transfigured in the mountain. Verse 42, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This is the incorruptible inheritance that we read before. It is called incorruptible because it is an inheritance. Incorruptible inheritance. This is our richness in the kingdom of God. The power of resurrection gives you an inheritance that no one can corrupt. But today's world, everything is corrupted. Even the churches are corrupted. Now we are pressing, you know, to the mark of the high calling of Jesus to receive that. Now he says, verse 52, we shall be changed. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So from death we march towards life. From falsehood we march towards truth. It's a process, it's a journey by the power of resurrection. Now these verses, it echoes why the Lord said, I am the resurrection. He said, I am. Now we have to reconcile this with Book of Revelation. Because Book of Revelation is a book that speaks everything that has not happened yet, correct? It's all, you know, pointing towards what's going to happen. Chapter 20, verse 4. Let's remember all the verses. Seven spirits before the throne, beautiful characters of Christ, beautiful scattering of light. The Lord says, I am the glory, I am the image, I am the firstborn, I am the word, I am the light, I am the life, I am the resurrection. He has given us all the revelation about who he is. God manifested in flesh, justified in spirit. Verse 4 says, this is after that Satan released after 1,000 years. He was bound for 1,000 years. Now verse 4 says, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Who are those? And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ and for the word of God. Beheaded. So what happened to John the Baptist was a type. The head was removed. The head of a man was removed because the church has only one head. The head of Jesus Christ. Amen? We are the body of Christ. The word of God, and which he had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This is the millennium that we know what's going to happen. That completes 6,000 to 7,000 year mark, so that we enter into the 8th day, that is a new beginning. Amen? The blessed rest. Look at the verse 5. The rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. This is where we read the word about first resurrection. Amen? First resurrection. And verse 6, how it is beautifully glorified. Because the Bible says, those who boast, they boast in the glory of the Lord. This is the true example of it. You live and die first. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Not just that, after that there is the throne of judgment, then they will live with him forever and ever. But this millennium is a sign of the promise of God that my son will rule as a king. So, blessed is he, and holy is he. he that had part in the first resurrection. Now let's ask ourselves, we are all part of a fellowship, praise the Lord. We are part of a family of God, praise the Lord. We are all part of the word of God, praise the Lord. But are we part of the first resurrection? Before we answer it, there are so many things for us to reflect before we say. We want to, amen? We truly desire to, but he that sheweth mercy has to finish it. Not by me, not by you, not by might, not by power, but by the one who sheweth mercy. Amen. May the Lord guide us. We will continue about what are the words spoken by Jesus Christ after he resurrected. Amen. From here, as the Lord leads and guides us. So I pray the Lord bless all of us to remember the Lord's goodness. Little things. It's always in the little, small, tiny things. You might have missed something, but you gained something much, much powerful. You might have lost something, but you might have, you know, received something that is more, more divine. May the Lord guide us and God bless you all. Let's all sing a short chorus as I pray and close. Let's all remember the resurrection power of the Lord is to give you the confidence in him. Amen. Is to hold on to the absolute confidence of who is Christ to us. And as I said about my professor, my grandfather, I encourage you all, go and reflect your life. There are so many people the Lord sent in your life to bless you, to guide you, so that you are not escaping from the will of the Father in heaven. Amen.
Our glorified Jesus Christ, the glory of the Father. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the power of resurrection that is in us now. The resurrection power of Christ that has been given to all of us, the incorruptible seed, the incorruptible inheritance, the Lord has promised all of us to receive. And Lord, we pray, may you bless us to understand, O Lord, that you descended, you ascended. And Lord, do we follow you? Do we follow you in the cross? Do we follow you in the heaven? Lord, we pray, help us, Lord, to understand that the power of God, the wisdom of God, that beautiful, beautiful divine promise that we will all be living with you forever and ever, the first fruits of resurrection, and Lord, that we will all overcome the second death, and Lord, we believe in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that all that we learnt must bring forth the life. You told Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth, and Lord, we pray, may you bless us to bring forth the fruits of righteousness. May you bless us, O Lord, bring forth the fruits of the Holy Ghost. May you teach us, O Lord, to test every spirit that it is of God or not. Grant us, O Lord, the wisdom of the Spirit of Christ. Wisdom and understanding, knowledge and fear, counsel and might. Help us, Lord. Do we have this? Do we desire after this? Teach us, Lord. We humbly surrender our life as you continue to mold and change and translate and bless us to be conformed to the beautiful image of God, Jesus Christ. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, I pray, amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.